Ladies and gentlemen, over the years, I have won awards. I have met so many people. I've worked with every major star. I've interviewed Lenny the Lion. I've interviewed Lord Charles. I've interviewed the late Keith with Orville. But I've never until now had in my presence Basil Brush.
Hello, Mr. Pete. How does that make you feel?
I'm quite excited because I actually grew up with you.
Did you? Did you grow very tall? Because I didn't grow much, you see. I'm only 18 inches tall. Did you suddenly grow and sprout wings and that sort of thing?
I aged. Let's put it that way.
Oh, you know what you have to do with that, you know, Mr. Pete, is grow fur all over your face.
Right.
Right. Nobody can see the cracks. It's worked for me and it's worked for Anne Robinson. It's perfect.
I actually can't believe that I am seriously talking to Basil Brush because July the 11th on the Saturday night, you're coming to the Southport Theatre. On August the 6th, you're going to Llandudno. Basil, have you been retired or what?
Well, no. I mean, people wonder where I've been or where I've gone. All that happened to me, you see, was you remember me during the 60s and the 70s, correct? Mm-hmm. That was when you grew up with me.
Yes.
Then I had a bit of a sabbatical, basically lying on a beach in Port Barnoos. For about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the BBC begged me to come back and help their flagging ratings. And I was on CBBC from 2002 to 2013. So I had my own new series with the Basil Brush Show, which you may not have been watching, you see. You might have been working. But the boys and girls today watch me on CBBC for about 12 years. Now, we've finished on CBBC, and now we're doing a little tour around the country. So, actually, I've not really been away for that long. It's just that you weren't watching me at 7.30 in the morning. You were still in bed.
I see one of your dates has just hit me like a ton of bricks. You're at Motherwell Theatre on the 30th of July, which is nowhere near here. But I died on my backside as a comic in Motherwell Miners Club. So I just...
Did you really? Well, I've got a feeling that's where we might be. Well, jolly well might be there. You know, I've died on stage many a time and I could well be doing it there. It's good for the heads up.
Basil, you must be the longest running pantomime person.
Oh, and I say, I mean, I used to do the pantomime. I mean, I remember my biggest one was at the London Palladium in the 60s. And then, of course, I was off the air for a while, but I've done pantomime for the last 12 years when I came back. And it's been fantastic. I love pantomime, you see. I mean, people wonder what I'm going to play in the show, but I've been everything from Buttons. I've been the genie in Aladdin. And last year I was, I was in Beauty and the Beast, but I wasn't the Beast. So I can basically think of me as an actor. The only role I've not played is Cinderella or an Ugly Sister.
You haven't played an Ugly Sister?
No, not played an Ugly Sister yet. I think it would be remarkable to be an Ugly Sister.
I played Ugly
Sister. I like that.
I think that would be a great double act, me and you as the Ugly Sister. I've played Ugly Sister about 20 times.
Oh, I love being in pantomime. It's my favourite time of year. I will miss pantomime. If ever I'm not doing a pantomime, I shall feel bereft.
Couldn't agree with you more.
Makes my Christmas.
Yeah. Basil, the question I've always wanted to ask, always wanted to ask.
You want me to give you a prize if I get it right?
Shut up! Oh, I've never told a fox to shut up before. I'm sorry about that.
Foxes around.
How did you start? How did you get into the business?
Well, isn't it funny? Some people used to say, you know, said I was born on stage. You've heard that expression,
yes,
haven't you?
Yes.
Well, I jolly well was born on stage, and the audience liked it so much, my mother kept it in the act. Boom, boom. No, really. It's just I trod the balls from the very beginning. I can't remember not being on the stage and performing, to be honest with you. And really, my biggest break was given to me by David Nixon in 63 on his magic show, where I had a little slot and somebody was watching there and said, "Cracky, a talking fox? You don't get many of those." They didn't put me in the circus. They put me on the telly, gave me my own series and the BBC, and the rest is history. So I really began with David Nixon in 63.
He was a nice man. He was a nice man and a fabulous magician.
Oh, he was fantastic. He would have won Britain's Got Talent this time round, wouldn't he? I mean, even without making a helicopter appear, he'd have done it. He'd have beaten the dog. I'm sure he would.
Now, how did we discover Boom Boom?
Now, it's interesting that Boom Boom. Some people think it's from the story of when some... Do you remember those radio mics that people used to have with the big boom mic?
Yeah.
No fluffy and furry, that somebody dropped it from a gantry, shouted to me, "Boom! Boom!" And it hit me on the head. Everybody laughed raucously. But actually, old-time music hall. They always used to do, the drummer used to go, boom, boom, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right? And I thought, That's jolly good. Even if nobody laughs, it fills that gap of boom, boom. So, you know, when you're dying on stage in Motherwell, as you have told me about, well, actually, filled it with some sort of catchphrase or laugh, you see, covers when there's nothing happening. So it really came from the old-time musical, I Pinched Boom, Boom, and it's become my catchphrase ever since.
It's amazing. Well, you're coming in July the 11th to the Southport Theatre. On the 6th of August, you're at Llandudno. What I must ask is, because it's all changed and the industry's changed, have you got quite a big entourage with you?
Do you know what? Travelling with myself is Mr. Stephen. He's the actor, Chris Pitty, who used to do the Basil Brush Show with me on CBBC. Mm-hmm. We travel together. Mm-hmm. And then, really, all we have are the crew. We have three members of the crew setting up this huge 20-foot video screen on the stage. We've gone very high-tech, you see, so that it could take us into space or back in time with the video screen in the show, you see. So, actually, there are only five of us. I mean, I did once have an uncle entourage because my entourage didn't want to come away with me. So no, I don't have a big... I have a huge rider specifying what I require.
Really?
Oh, huge rider. Basically, I need brown envelopes full of jelly babies. Nothing to do with Basil Blatter Brush, being my middle name, but no brown envelopes, but they have to be stuffed full of jelly babies.
So tell me, what does the show comprise of? I sit down, I've brought my two nephews with me. Yes. What will I expect?
You will expect to be slightly scared, okay? Well, yes, there might be some evil foxes on the stage or on the screen. Also, we're going heading into space. We have lots of songs that the boys and girls can join in with. You're likely, we've made the show four-dimensional. You've been to the cinema when they say it's a 4D experience, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
You tried that. You've got 3D, but we're 4D. You are likely to get wet, very wet, especially the grown-ups if you have two kids with you as well. You will get wet. Also, you stand a chance to get a cream pie put in your face by either myself or Mr. Stephen. That might happen as well. There are lots of laughs. Some of them might be in the right places. Lots of jokes and some great songs as well. And after the show, you get the chance to meet myself and Mr. Stephen in the foyer.
Wow.
And meet us and have a tweet and greet, I call it. You get your smartphones out, take a picky, send it up onto Facebook and say, I just met Basil Brush. That's what you can expect.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually talking to Basil Brush, and he's coming to Southport on the 11th of July, and he's going to Llandudno on the 6th of August. I've got to ask. I know you're a very private person, and I know you probably won't answer this, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Really?
You have a private life, and you've kept it out of the press.
The papers.
Are you married? Have you children? Have you got a life?
Well, I always say I couldn't tie myself to one girl because I can't do knots. Boom, boom. I mean, I do chase foxes, of course. You know, people talk about the hunting and all of that. I chased Kylie Minogue and she actually stopped and let me give her a jolly good kiss on the cheek. So I will chase the odd fox. But no, I decided, you know, I'm a bachelor fox through and through, but I have lots and lots of lovely, lovely lady friends who, you know, they just want to feed me and look after me. I like all of that.
Do you like music? Do you, when you're sitting at home by yourself?
Yeah. I mean, we listen to all sorts of music, into garage, you know, hip-hop. Well, my gran had a hip-hop, you know, she was very good. And she's only 75, and the doctor said she's got to walk 5 miles a day, and that was 3 months ago, and we have the faintest idea where she is. So, you know, a bit of grunge, a bit of garage. Well, that's where I park my car, anyway. But I'll listen to anything we have to stick in the car to save boredom of driving all those miles.
Oh, here's a nice question. Name top... You have to think about this. Name your top five famous people you've worked with that you really, really enjoyed.
Top five famous people I've really, really enjoyed working with. Well, of course, Mr. Stephen, of course, who I'm working with at the moment. I better say that because otherwise he'll wallop me. Christopher Biggins was a jolly, splendid laugh, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was with him in pantomime. That was jolly, splendid. And the fact I stuffed him in the weakest link and we stayed best friends in the final. So that says a lot. Brian Connolly was particularly funny in pantomime. He's very good. And Sheila Ferguson, she's funny, you know. We did pantomime together last year. She can be quite cold, you know, 3 degrees.
Shut up!
And I did say to her at the end, when she went, I said, when will I see you again? She said, Basil.
Dear.
So those are jolly friends. And actually meeting the most famous person I think I've ever met is the Queen.
Really? I didn't know you met the Queen.
Oh, well, I was taking part in her special 80th birthday do in her back garden.
Wow.
What a nice gaff she's got. Wow. Lovely place. So you met the Queen. She's jolly. jolly night. And, of course, when I went and saw her grandchildren, Wills and Harry, now they've grown. My, how they've grown. But I met them when they were 4 and 5 years old, went to Kensington Palace and did a show especially for them and their friends for their birthday.
That's fantastic, that.
So, yes, a few famous people. And, of course, yourself.
Thank you very much. What did the Queen say to you?
Get out of the way. Or you've been going through my bins.
Why do foxes go through bins?
Well, because they're starving. Because there isn't anything for them to eat. You know, they can't just walk into a McDonald's and say, hello, could I have a Big Mac, please? Because they can't speak, you see. Whereas I can do that, but they can't. So they just go through the bins and just get what's left over, and it saves them a bob or two as well.
Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I've got to
ask. Well, you have done several times already.
Well, yes, I'm going to put you on the spot. What's the worst person or the person you didn't like?
I don't think there is a person that I haven't liked. You know, I mean, sometimes you go and work with people and they don't warm to you straight away, but all the time, I've always warmed to people and they've always warmed to me. There's no one I've got. I'm never going to work with her or him again. I can't really think of one. We've always got on.
That's fantastic.
Splendidly. And the funny thing is, one goes into television studios and meets people for the first time, and they're quite famous and they've got their particular ways, so one has to be careful not to step on their toes. I mean, the other day I went into Pointless. I'm going to be on Pointless in September. And, you know, I've never met them before, Alexander Armitage Strong, whatever his name is. I've never met him before, or Richard. And there's Richard, 6'8" tall. I had to sit on his lap. There wasn't much room. So I had to be careful where I wriggled. But he was absolutely fabulous, and I can't wait to be seen with him again. They're jolly splendid.
Fantastic. Now, why have you never aged?
Like I say, grow fur on your face. No one can see the cracks. But anyone who thinks I've had a facelift are talking out the Botox. Boom, boom. And I've not had any of that. But I've still got my own teeth in a little jar by the bed. And I'm the only natural orange, if you're looking between myself and Robinson or Dale Winton and Des O'Connor. I'm the only natural orange.
Where do you live in England?
Wherever I lay my brush. That's my home. It's a difficult one. Because I'm touring so much, I never really actually live anywhere. I'm always travelling from venue to venue, or in a Hoot Hill around where we're shooting a TV series, or the hotel just before the next show, or pantomime. So I never really have an absolute base. But wherever I live, brush, that's my home. And I live in everybody's hearts, apparently.
You do indeed, Basil.
There's a lot of affection out there, so I like to think I live in everybody's hearts.
Do you think you'll ever retire?
Never. Never. But I love it too much. What would I do? Put on a pair of slippers, smoke a pipe. You know, they ban that as well. So, you know, there's not much I'm going to do, really.
But you could spend all that money you've earned. You must be worth an awful lot of money as a fox.
I'm minted in jelly babies. But actually, it's funny to talk about retirement, because in fox years, I'm actually quite old, because there are 5.71 fox years to the one human year.
Yes.
And from 63, it makes me 296.96 years old. So beat that.
I'm not far behind.
I thought you might be. But 296, so no thoughts of retiring until I'm about 500.
So you're on tour. You're coming to the Southport Theatre the 11th of July. You're coming to Llandudno on the 6th of August, which is really exciting. I am thrilled at being able to interview you.
Thank you.
Do you get pushed out because you're a fox, or are you accepted? Can you go to hotels, or do you get...
Oh, I absolutely meant like it. One of these on the hotels, they go, you're that talking fox, aren't you? You know, they never do. They say, no pets allowed. But occasionally, you know, because of autograph hunters, I have to sort of go in a bit of disguise, incognito. So I paint my brush pink, especially at the seasides, and just disguise myself as a candy floss and just let some of my entourage carry me around and just wave me about a bit. And they think I'm a candy floss.
That's interesting you say that. How do you sign autographs? Are you a writing fox?
Oh, yes, of course. Just put a nice Sharpie in my paw and write away. I don't like to sign cheques, of course.
Of course.
Writing the photographs. No, there's no problem whatsoever.
Basil, do you get excited meeting children? I mean, you look at the children's faces and they light up and some are nervous, some are shocked.
That's what I do it for. That's what I do it for. It's my favourite time, is meeting the boys and girls afterwards, because, you know, it's magic for them. It's magic. They haven't been sort of polluted by this world. They're still able to laugh at somebody falling on their bottom. But it's when we get older, those little things, you see, it's not funny anymore. You go, get up, that sort of thing. Whereas actually the boys and girls find it really funny, and a pie in the face is really funny. And a whole new generation come through who are learning language for the first time, and I don't have to reinvent the wheel, just tell the joke. You know, what do you call a deer with no eyes?
I don't know.
No idea. Boom, boom. You see, and when they get that for the first time, they're understanding language, and I love that. And the boys and girls, they are kids, and if we let them be kids, they will enjoy the show.
Basil, I've got to ask you one more thing, because I know it's very sensitive.
Can I lend you a fiver? Is that what you're going to ask me?
No, fiver doesn't go anywhere these days. It might in Fox world. It certainly doesn't in the real world. I've got to ask. I know there was a bit of a scandal a few years ago and you were kidnapped and nearly thrown into a circus. How did you cope with that?
What was that? When was I kidnapped and nearly thrown into a circus?
I thought it was kept out the papers, but I'd heard in the industry that you were in a bad state.
Oh. Well, I do remember once, this is absolutely true, I was at the Richmond Theatre and there were some threats to kidnap Basil during when they were doing all of the voting on The Hunting.
Oh, right.
Somebody said, I'm going to kidnap Basil Brash. And they were quite concerned that somebody might sneak into the theatre and whip my good self and gain some publicity. But it didn't actually happen. So no, we don't know where the letter came from, but some letters did come through. But you take them seriously. You go, oh, my goodness me. But nothing happened. Nothing came of that. So I'm not sure who was trying to take me into the circus. Although, I have to say, Talking Fox is quite unique.
It is indeed. Basil Brush, I have enjoyed every second of this. You're coming to Southport. You're coming to London. No, could we have a boom boom to finish?
You can. I'll give you a poem. Mary had a little lamb. She tied it to a pylon. 10,000 volts went up its bum and turned its wool to nylon. Boom, boom, everybody.